Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Gabriel Wall, my title is airline captain for Frontier Airlines, and how I got into aviation was since probably the age of about 5 years old. I've always just had a fascination with aircraft and used to crawl around on my knees with little model aeroplanes. And that grew into later years where my dad got me up for a first few couple of lessons when I was about 16 years of age. And then from there, the fuel was ignited, and I never sort of gave it up, but I did have a career before I got to being an airline pilot, sort of in between, which helped to sort of fund the finances to fulfill the dream of becoming a pilot.
Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions?
See, definitely, yeah.
Sure. All right, cool. You guys on the meeting, go ahead and message them to me right here. If anybody has any questions, they can either text or email them, whatever it may be. But I did get some emailed ahead of time. One of the kids in Europe, they wanted to know, how did it feel to fly solo for the first time at the age of 16?
Really great question, and I still can remember exactly how it felt. The biggest thing I felt was that the aircraft that I was flying suddenly was much lighter, not having my instructor next to me. As soon as he hopped out of the plane and I advanced the throttle to take off, the aircraft accelerated a lot faster, as you can imagine, almost like your car. If you just have yourself in there compared to a full carload of people, it's going to accelerate a lot quicker. So everything happened so much quicker. We got down the runway and the plane lifted off, and it just seemed like it was a rocket ship right from the start. It was a great feeling.
Very cool. That seems so exciting. And I mean, when I was 16, we're driving cars. That's it.
I think I had my pilot license before I had my driver's license. Yeah.
That is wild. We have a question from Suleiman, who is in Morocco. Suleiman,
hi, Suleiman.
You should be able to unmute to ask. You had a pretty good question.
Hey, I'm from Morocco, and I was wondering how I can choose a good flight school, and what is your best tip for flight training?
How can you choose a good flight school? Well, do research, Google research. If you meet any pilots at the airport, if you're ever at an airport, ask where they went to go to school. I often get asked where I went to school, and now I got my flight training all done in Australia, but I wasn't part of essentially a full-time program that accelerates you through from nothing right through to your commercial license. I chipped away at it very slowly over many years from that age of 16 up until I got my, and that was, you know, when I went solo in 2002, as a 16 year old. And then I didn't get my commercial license till I was about, wasn't till like 2013 that I got my commercial. And then I didn't get my first job until it was 2016 when I got my first job. So I chipped away at it very slowly at basically like a weekend flight school. But there are a good select few around in the United States, at least, that will be able to accelerate you right through from, you know, they'll get you your degree, your 4-year degree right through to becoming a flight instructor after where you can get your hours. So Embry-Riddle's one that comes to my name. A lot of my pilots that I fly with have gone there, but there are some good ones for sure. Just do your research.
Great advice. One of the kids wanted to know, how did you prepare for the transition from first officer to captain? What is that process like?
Well, the process involves you, first of all, having the required hours that are needed by the individual airline. Most airlines will require, and even here at Frontier where I work, is 1,000 hours as a first officer assisting the captain before you can have that opportunity to upgrade. Not everyone will take that upgrade right there at 1,000 hours. It all depends on your comfort level. Are you ready to take up that position as the pilot in command, managing the whole show and having all the passengers in the back of the aircraft basically looking to you as the captain to get them to their destination safely? So for me, when I was at my small regional airline SkyWest before I was at Frontier, I flew a small little CRJ 50-seater jet. I got about I'm going to say about 2,500, 2,500 hours as a first officer before I took the upgrade. And with that amount of hours, I felt a lot more confident, having had seen a lot of different scenarios up until that point, where getting over to the left seat, if I were to have those same scenarios again, weather-related, aircraft, equipment, mechanical issues, orchestrating, talking to all the passengers. If I hadn't had all those sort of years of experience prior to getting there, I wouldn't have been as confident. So it's really going to be up to the individual pilot. But at Frontier, at least, since I was already a captain at SkyWest Regional, I had that confidence behind me already that I knew that once I got into the left seat as captain, it wouldn't be as much of a big deal.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a question from Giannis. Giannis in France, go ahead and unmute to ask, buddy.
Right. I had a question about the pilot training. I was wondering how to, do the training in the United States without breaking the bank, because as I heard, it was pretty expensive.
You broke up a little bit there, but my understanding is the training in the US and kind of how expensive it can be. Is that correct?
Yeah, and any advice you'd have as far as getting training and saving money on that training. I don't know if you have any recommendations for simulators or anything like that.
Okay, very, very good question, and thanks for the points there, Ralph. So when I was a young child, I also played Flight Simulator a lot. I spent most of my time, I probably should have been spending more time doing homework, but I spent a lot of my time playing flight simulators. And that really gave me a good foundation of what it's like to even fly before I got into the plane. So if you can do anything like that to help you that once you get into the real plane, it's going to reduce the amount of time you need to work on a particular lesson. That's going to help to save money. It's not a cheap career to get into. A flight lesson back when I was learning was about almost $200 an hour, and I imagine only now it's significantly higher, probably up towards the $300 per hour. There are certain financial institutions that will loan you money to finish off or to get your pilot license. There are, I know of scholarships. I don't know of specific scholarships, but I have heard of scholarships available. Once again, it just comes back to doing research on those sorts of things. But really, when I was learning to fly as a young child, my dad ran out of money very early on. That's why he got me to first solo, and I'm so grateful for that. But really, after that point, at 16 years of age, he couldn't afford to have me fly anymore. And I slowly chipped away at it, as I said, over the many, many years, and I had that career, a different career in IT as a salesperson, which helped me to really save up the funds that I needed to invest it back into my flight lessons. And I did that several times. I had the money, went back to my flying lessons, did a few lessons, ran out of money, had to go back to the job, save up more money, and I did that three or four times before I managed to finish off all my ratings and stuff like that. That's kind of there's certain path. Your military is a great, a fantastic pathway to go down. If you were able to get into the military in your respective country as an aviator, you're going to get all of that training paid for. You're going to get your degree. That's a great way to go down to get your hours up to get eventually to the airlines if that's your goal. I hope that kind of answers the question.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks, Giannis.
We'll go with a couple more student questions, then we'll let you go. One of the kids, they want to know what qualities do you think are most important for somebody who's wanting to become a pilot?
I think just the drive and determination to continue with it. It can be a long slog to get to the airlines or really any commercial aviation job, but it's such a rewarding thing once you get there. I don't, and I say I may have said it's a job, but for me, this is not a job. It's like I just get paid to go and fly planes, and for me, that's every day I go to work is just exciting. It's very rewarding. So I think the qualities are you just have a love for flying. You either, and I also advise to go up for what's known as a trial introductory flight, where basically you go up for about 15, 20 minutes up into the air just to get a feel of it and see if that feeling of flying a plane, the instructor who's next to you will let you fly, hand fly the plane a little bit, and just to get that feeling if it's going to be right for you. For some people, they find out from that lesson that it's definitely not for them. And for some, it's like, this is definitely for me and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. So just have a strong determination, and just always think safety-wise, have a very safety-conscious mind. Do every single thing around the aircraft slowly. It's not an environment to be rushing anything. So as long as you're slow and methodical and you follow the checklists and all the standard operating procedures of your airline, you can never go wrong. And just have a passion for getting your passengers from A to B and communicating and all that sort of stuff.
That's great. We have a question. One of our final student questions from Ruin in Barcelona. Go ahead and unmute to ask, pal.
Okay, hello. Is it possible to do a cadet program and attend university at the same time? If so, would you recommend doing both simultaneously or completing university first and then starting the cadet program?
It's a good question. I think you can either manage doing both at the same time or you can't. For me, I'm definitely not one of those who could manage to do a university degree and also my flying lessons and all that stuff on the side. I was never the bright kid in class. So for me, I have chipped away at it at the speed that was sort of appropriate for my abilities. And I think, you know, everyone's ability will differ in that regard.
Nice. We have two questions from Solomon in Africa. Solomon, go ahead and you can ask your questions.
Hey, again. So I have two questions that have nothing to do with each other, but first, what do you think of going into debt to do all your flight training? And second, because I'm doing a flight right now in flight simulator, what do you think of flight simulators? Like, how can they help you and everything?
Yeah, so two good questions. What do I think about going into debt? I think that as long as you pursue what you went into debt for in the beginning, it'll pay itself off. The cost to get to the airlines in terms of getting your first commercial job as an instructor and then you can build your hours, I think it's somewhere in the order of about $100,000, $150,000. You know, when you get to the airlines, the first officer first year pay at Frontier is about $100 an hour. You do 1,000 hours a year, that's about $100,000. So, you know, you'll pay that off fairly quickly once you get into the airlines. But it wouldn't never really mattered, you know. I love what I do. Even if it took 20 years to fulfill, I still love this job more than when I was earning. I earn a little bit more now than what I used to when I was in IT, but I would take this job and earn less over the job in IT in a heartbeat, sitting behind a desk every day, wearing a suit and having to make phone calls. I was good at it, but I would take being a pilot more than ever, because I get such a great schedule. You know, this month I've already had about 18, 19 days off already. And I still get paid a full 75 hours of pay based on my like pay rate. So I get a good income. Some months I'm not working much at all, which is fantastic. I get a lot of spare time to do what I want to do at home with my family. That's the great thing about getting to the airlines, and it's very flexible. I did mention, you know, I went back and forth between jobs when I was saving up the money, but I also did take out two government loans. One was to finish off my instructor rating, and the other one was to get my instrument rating. They were about $30,000 a piece. So I was in debt for a few years, even when I had my first jobs as a pilot, where I wasn't really getting paid much. A few years back now, it pays a lot more than what it used to be just a few years back, since there's been a big pilot shortage. But, you know, it took me a few years to pay it off, but it's all paid off now, you know, and so it didn't take long at all. Now, regarding your second question about flight simulators, I did mention before I used to play flight simulators. I grew up playing them, from Flight Simulator 95, then Flight Sim 2000, FSX, FS 2004, maybe even before that one. I've played them all and they've all helped me immensely. You know, when I was doing my instrument rating, which is all based on using instruments to navigate through the air where you can't see outside, you're basically using radio navigation aids that communicate to the instruments in the plane. I even had a makeshift cockpit that I built up, and I had like USB No, it was like on my iPad, and it linked to the server on the computer, and it would give me all my instruments. And I used to basically practice instrument approaches all the time, so that when I got to actually doing my instrument rating in the plane, it was all just, I've done it before. It was easy and simple. I never had to repeat lessons. I saved a lot of money just by utilizing flight simulators.
And on that note, what is your opinion as far as the development of AI? Does that have any play in the future of aviation, do you think?
There's definitely talk of pilotless aircraft, or at least single pilot aircraft. I know there was a big push from, I don't know if it was from Airbus, the manufacturer, to push towards single pilot operations with commercial mass public transport. But there is also a really large push back from that, as you can imagine, by both the flying public and also those who are in the industry. The idea of having one pilot up the front, managing everything that goes on, is not a good idea. There's a re real good reason why there's two of us up there in the flight deck. And there are occasions when I'm flying that there's something that I've missed, or I didn't hear correctly, and I've maybe turned the aircraft the incorrect way, or whatever it might be. And the first officer says, "Hey, no, we're actually supposed to turn this way," or whatnot. So it's definitely valuable having two flight crew up in the flight deck. How is AI going to tie into everything? Well, I, as bad as it sounds, I still do believe, though, that in the next probably 30 years, we will definitely see pilotless aircraft. And that might first of all start in the cargo sort of industry, where there's just basically boxes, there's no passengers being flown from A to B. I definitely think it is going to come, but probably not within the next 30 years or so.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it is pretty terrifying, yeah. And it's gonna take a lot of careers away from people. I mean, that's what AI is doing. It's taking away so many jobs from people. It's a blessing and a curse.
I'd rather have pilots on my plane.
Yeah.
So the final question I asked this of all their guests, Captain Gabriel Wall, is there any advice you could give to these kids as they go off, whether they want to go into aviation or something completely different? What advice do you have for them as they figure out the next chapter in their?
My advice would be that you should, first of all, I would hope that you have some idea at your age. If you're 15 years of age, hopefully you have an idea about what you want to do for a career. I knew early on I wanted to be a pilot. It was more a case of how do I achieve that, but I always knew that I wanted to be a pilot. The advice would be, unlike myself, who probably should have spent more time studying than playing flight simulator, is to put your focus on your studies, get through your high school, go off and get your degree. I don't have a degree myself, but I would strongly suggest that as the market can change, the aviation industry right now is there's such a big shortage of pilots that they've pretty much done away with the need for a degree, and you just basically need your flight experience. But only a few years ago, you couldn't really get to the major airlines if you didn't have that degree. So I always think it's a great idea to get that, because when you're when you're in an interview and it's a match and match, but you have the degree and they don't, you're most likely going to get the job if you have the degree. So focus on your studies, do good in school, stay level-headed, but have fun, make friends along the way, enjoy the journey. Life's an adventure.
Thank you so much. And before I end the meeting for all, before I close it down, can we all say thank you to Captain Gabriel Rawl for taking the time to talk to you guys today? Thank you so much, Captain.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Pleasure.
you.